You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Bam! That's right. Let's go. It's 7 o'clock. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-ER. ESPN, 800-919-3776. We get to your calls early in the show, as you are a massive part of it. Also, on Twitter, make sure you check in with us, at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. Make sure you do it. We will get to Kyrie Irving and the slander that is coming his way in just a little while. We will get to why exactly half the teams in the NFL, 16 teams, should be looking at Colin Kaepernick. But we will also get to why I am most bothered by this Major League Baseball season that we all assume is about to happen. And that's where we'll start, though. Not what bothers me the most, but the fact that it's about to start, but there are a lot of questions, like, who is actually going to be playing? Now, look, I got to tell you, when you look at Major League Baseball right now, coming back, you can get giddy. You can get excited that you're going to get a chance to see it. We know you've been jonesing. We understand. We've all wanted to see baseball. We've all wanted to see sports, period, come back. And the last few weeks have been an absolute disaster for baseball. But there's one big question that nobody is addressing here. Who is going to be playing? Because don't forget one very important thing. This is still a shell of a season. Let's be very clear about that. At the moment, the latest proposal from the owners was 60 games, full pro rata, with expanded playoffs. And I'm sure they'll add in the other things, like the players wearing mics and things like that. My guess is they probably settle at 65 games, which, by the way, an agent told me a few days ago, like, what's so hard about this? That was the actual number. 65 games, full pro rata, extra playoffs, let's go. What is the problem here? Well, the problem is that it got too personal. But now that we appear to be closing in on an actual season, why are we convinced that all of the biggest stars in the game are definitively going to be there? Because that problem of it in and of itself hasn't changed. Remember Bryce Harper earlier this year? Remember Blake Snell earlier this year talking about the concerns that they had? And they were talking about a percentage of games that is not much less than what they're going to end up playing. If they play 65 games, that is 40% of a season. 40%. Now, I am not going to, by any stretch of the imagination, ask you to have sympathy for Bryce Harper, for Blake Snell, for Mike Trout, when 40% of 36 million for Mike Trout is still 14.4. Let's say half for taxes gone, you're still going to get 7.2 million for 60 some games. And that's not too shabby, to say the least. The problem is, for those guys, is it going to be worth it? And I'm strictly talking from the safety standpoint, because that's something that hasn't been really addressed yet. You have Mike Trout. You have a guy that has a wife who is about to have their first child. If you're Mike Trout and you look around right now and you see California and Texas and Florida and these places all spiking again when it comes to the coronavirus, are you going to be willing to either A, move away from your wife and stay away from her altogether when you've already made $117 million in your career? You don't have to work another day. So it sounds silly, but sacrificing $7 million for Mike Trout in this instance very well could be worth it. Not wanting to leave his wife while she is pregnant. And he certainly doesn't want to have her around when he is playing, because even if she's inside the bubble, The bubble is not a fail-safe. It is not foolproof. The bubble is a nice idea, and it's making the best of a bad situation as we can, but baseball is not going to be completely in an NBA-type bubble. I mean, they are really, really tying it down there, and they had suggested the idea for Arizona, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It seems like it's going to be more regional. So if you're Mike Trout, ask yourself this question. You've made $117 million. Your contract runs through 2030. Through 2030. Do you think that they are going to cut you loose if you don't play? I don't think that's happening. Do you think they're going to say, well, you breached your contract? How's that going to go over in a public pandemic? That's not going to go over well for Angels fans. And somebody will hand Mike Trout that exact same money very quickly. Why? Because there is so much money to be made that because of one pandemic in a couple of months, we are not going from billions made by a sport to $0 made by a sport over a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, we have 10 teams going out of business. That's not what's happening. So somebody's going to hand him all of that. And if you're Mike Trout, you're going to weigh the risk versus the reward. If you're Bryce Harper, you're going to weigh the risk versus the reward. Be honest about something. When there's still such an incredible unknown about this virus, can you guarantee that you're going to be healthy from it? Can you guarantee that you're not going to get sick even if you contract the virus and you're just a carrier? Because the largest group of carriers is on the younger end range. So if you get it, you could very easily spread it to other people. Remember, that's been the biggest thing about the virus from the beginning, is they've talked about just how efficient it is in spreading. Let's put it another way. One that hits a little closer to home. What if Gerrit Cole decides not to play? Here's a pitcher who is a creature of habit. I think we can say that very safely. He had a spring training. I'm sure he's been throwing on the side somewhat. He knows what he needs to do. But what if Gerrit Cole looks at how this is laid out, is going to go to spring training here in a couple of weeks, doesn't like the way it's being rushed, and all of a sudden, Gerrit Cole looks at it and says, you know what? See you next spring. And if you're the Yankees, how do you treat him at that point? Do you want him to do that because you're protecting your investment long term? If you feel like there is a more legitimate chance that he could get hurt in the short term, if because of the effects of this season, I mean, that's almost sure to happen to so many different teams that you're sure to see injury problems out of all of this. I don't think there's any question about that. Or if your ownership, are you going to be upset that you have this shortened season and an ace pitcher and some additional playoffs and a chance to win a championship when the time for the Yankees is right now? Are you going to be ticked off at him after you just handed him all that money? But if the guy doesn't feel safe about going and playing, if he is legitimately concerned about getting sick, legitimately concerned about what's right for the long-term health of his game, it's a 9-year contract for Pete's sake. How's ownership going to view him? How are you as fans going to view him? Think about that. Are you going to be mad at Gerrit Cole because he doesn't want to go pitch on a season like this if he is genuinely concerned about the coronavirus, or if he is genuinely concerned about how all of this could affect his arm health? When you just got this guy with a 9-year deal, and while the Yankee window is open, I don't think it's closing immediately. If Gerrit Cole goes and gets hurt this season, and he has Tommy John and is out for all next year, how are you going to feel? damn, I wish Gerrit Cole had shut it down. How are teammates going to look at him? Are they going to be mad? The guys that decided to show up. The guys that may have just the one chance to win a championship, even though it's not really a championship. Here's the point. There very well could be big, big stars that just do not think it is worth it. How's Randy Levine going to feel hypothetically if that happens with Gerrit Cole? These guys are human. Let's not forget that. They are the ones taking the risk. Ownership's not taking any risk. They don't have to come out of their offices and go to the games and play the games and be around other people and live basically a sheltered life for a few months, potentially. That's not the case. What about fans? They're not risking anything. All we're doing is watching on TV. Listen, we'd all rather be at the ballpark. They're not letting you in there. I don't care what your leanings are and all that. Listen, it's not happening. The players are the ones taking the risk. Do not forget they are human. And do not forget that there are some that are going to be desperate to play financially. And there are some that are not going to be so desperate and may just think it's not worth it. 800-919-3776. How are you going to feel about that? Because it's a very strong possibility. I got to tell you, if they decide not to play, I'm not going to have a problem with any one of them. And I love baseball. Love it. I'm upset with the fact that it's going to be treated like any other season, and I'll get to that later on. I can't wait to watch it. But from that standpoint, I got to tell you, if you're a player and you want to sit out, I'm not going to blame you one bit.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Breaking news.
This from Tom Hardercourt, who is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The pending Major League Baseball agreement reportedly includes the DH in the National League for 2020 and 2021. Then, of course, comes the new CBA, which almost certainly will include it. So, it appears as if the National League is now a designated hitter league. Wow. No more pitchers hitting. Thank God. I have to tell you, if there was anything that was so overrated, it was the talk about all of the strategy that goes into that and the idea that it somehow makes such a huge difference with managers and such. And you see the brilliance of them. Come on, if you can't execute a double switch, you shouldn't be in the dugout to begin with. Come on. I have no problem with this whatsoever. I think it's great, and I've been waiting for it. You want more offense? This is more offense. Get a guy who can hit up to the plate. That's good. James in Long Island is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, James.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Good. Before I get to my baseball thing, I sent you a message on Instagram. I don't know if you saw it, but I did not yet.
I will look for it.
Yeah, that would mean a lot if you did see it. But anyway, so the sports one, I wanted to talk about the baseball thing because at this point, because this has been going on for a month now, a month and a half, these negotiations just back and forth. And to be honest, I'm just kind of sick of it at this point. All I want is just to sit back on my couch and watch a game of baseball, whether it be 50 games I'm watching, whether it be 75 games. All I want to see is just baseball. But I understand what you were talking about before. If players kind of want to hold out for the year, they might not want to play because they don't want to risk giving it to their families. And they're kind of in this little bubble thing where they can't really go out and do anything, which I understand. And I also understand the players not wanting to play. So I'm not going to be mad at any of the players for not wanting to do it based on safety, but I might tick me off a little bit if it's because of salary and it's because or something like on that money front of like that.
Yeah, listen, we all wanted to see baseball, right? But
yeah.
I just my bigger problem is just what it's actually going to mean for the season itself and the championship trophy. I think that's a big deal. I think it's a big deal that you have to treat that with a certain level of respect, and handing it out in a season that's 40% of what it normally is, to me, is just not right.
I get that, but I mean, it's in the times that we're dealing with right now, I mean, it's going to happen with every sport, so I think we just kind of have to deal with it. And maybe, and there are going to be some people that are going to say for a 50 game and for a baseball season, and maybe for a football season, even that if a team like for baseball, say if a team like the Marlins or the Royals, if they win, maybe we'll question it. But I mean, but there's got to be, but you got to just think about it like this. I mean, at least we're getting baseball, and yes, maybe it's less games than what we like, and it's not great times right now. But I'm going to treat it, even if it. Whoever wins this thing, I'm going to treat it like a real champion.
God bless you. I will not. I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. I will not feel like it's a real champion. Absolutely not. In no way. Because that's a special thing. 162 games. That's 6 months, man. 6 months you've got to run that gauntlet. And I'm not even playing half of that? Come on. It's not right. You know, just thinking about this DH thing, man, the Mets massively benefit from this if Cespedes can come back. Even if they don't, it gives them a chance to get, let's just say that Cespedes isn't back yet, right? You can get Dominic Smith, J.D. Davis, Nimmo, Conforto, all in the lineup with Pete Alonso. So that's a great thing. But you get Cespedes back, and you DH him every day, you are golden. You know, who knows when he's going to be back. And you would hope that it, you know, maybe that he will be ready to go when the season starts. We'll have to see. I think right now, if you can get him back to help you this year, that'd be a big thing for the Mets to go in their cheapy championship that way. That's what we'll call it, the cheapy championship. Maybe unfair. Maybe not. It bugs me to no end. Because I honestly feel like the commissioner does not have the proper respect for the game in some ways. That's another reason for me that he shouldn't necessarily be running it anymore. I get it. It's about the owner's money, and it has been for a long time. I understand that completely. But you do have to consider the game somewhat, don't you? Since that's the thing that's making the money. Mike in Westchester is next on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what do you got?
Hi, Carlin. I totally agree with you. This is like it's like when you order a pizza with two toppings and they forget one. It's still a pretty good pizza, but it's not what
you wanted. Let me tell you something. Don't even go there. Mike, don't even go there. I mean, is there anything worse than, and not just that, but if they send you the pizza and you've been waiting, let's just say 45 minutes, and the pizza shows up and it's the wrong pizza and they got like pineapple on it and ham, and I'm just like, oh, I mean, I don't know that I'm ever more crestfallen than when something like that happens. I'm sorry. You tried to use the analogy that I would understand, and all you did was really hurt me more than anything.
I'm sorry.
I literally, and I'm not joking, I had a visceral reaction as you were saying that sentence.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
But what I'm trying to say is that I know you agree that, you know, from a fan standpoint, from this entertainment, sure, I mean, I watch 48, 66 games. Yeah, whatever you put out there, I'll watch. But I agree with you. From the athlete standpoint, from the team standpoint, it's 162 games. The dog days of the summer. You have to grind it out. Winning a World Series championship is one of the hardest things to do because of, you know, the longevity that you have to put out there on the six-month season with slumps, with road trips, with 3 weeks away from your family and coming back day night, double, you know, day night games. And this is just like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, I'll watch it and I'll see. But, you know, 20, 30 years from now, you know, yeah, there'll be an asterisk out there. You're going to win a championship that, you know, I think can get hot and win this, you know, whereas if it was a long, you know, a full season, you could get hot and it still finish last, you know, throughout the summer. So thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, any team can get hot, and that's what bothers me. You know, I don't want the Marlins going and getting hot and going on a run. Okay, it's maybe not terribly likely, but you get the point. I don't want to see that happen. Joel Sherman is saying the 2020 season is actually far from a done deal. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. They're on the one. Here's this opening line. MLB and the Players Association are at the 1 yard line, so why do I see Malcolm Butler stepping in front of Russell Wilson? Wow. If that happens, oofa. Look, for me, if you want to point to a way to really screw this up, it would be this way. It would be getting it close, getting hope, and then walking away. That would just be comical. I mean, I might throw out my baseball stuff if that happens. Like, I've got a, you know, I like wearing hats and shirts and stuff. I may just chuck it if they actually blew this somehow. Michael in Manville next. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Paul?
How you doing, bud?
I just had to say that baseball perspective you had in the beginning was, I mean, you know what? Forget about the money. I don't even care about the money. All right? Because everybody's making it a big thing about the money. How about the player's safety? Now, how about that? They start there. Because you know what? If they don't want to play, don't let them play. Don't play. Because you know what? The lower-end players that have minimal salaries, are they want to play. Okay? Let them play. Uh-huh. But you have to do something about it. Because about the money, it's ridiculous. I'm sick to my stomach about it. I'm a big Yankee fan. I'm sorry. It's sickening to hear day in and day out.
How are you going to feel, honestly? Ask you a question. Miguel, as a Yankee fan, mm-hmm. how are you mm-hmm. going to feel if you have Gerrit Cole decide he's not going to play this year? Because he feels like health-wise...
I'm not going to the ballpark.
You're not going to the ballpark anyway.
I'm not going to the ballpark.
Well, you're not going to the ballpark anyway.
I'm not going to the ballpark next year either.
If he decided...
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of...
Let me preface this. If Miguel, if he said, listen, I feel like I know my body better than anybody, and considering what's going on, and remember, he's giving up the money by not playing this year, if that's the case. I feel like the best course of action for me and, frankly, for the Yankees is for me not to pitch this year because I think I'd be putting myself in some jeopardy. I think that would be tough to argue with.
I do not blame him. I don't blame anybody. I don't blame Trout. I don't blame Snell. I don't blame any of them. You don't want to play? Stay home. Stay home. That's fine by me. And another point with baseball – integrity, that's a big word to me. I know it is to you too, Carlin, because you know what? If you don't have a whole full 162-game season, do not play. I'm sorry. Do not play. Don't play.
Stay Appreciate home. The call, End Miguel. The I understand what you're saying. I a few weeks ago, and honestly, if they don't have a season this year, considering we're going to have the NBA and we're going to have NHL, I'll live. I'll have things to watch. I will pay more attention to the NHL, you know, if they decide to just scrap this whole thing altogether. But I don't want to hear about problems anymore. Either you're getting this done now or you're not.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, the ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. And this year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us because 98.7 ESPN is honoring two athletes in our area who lost their senior seasons due to the pandemic by giving them an honorary ESPY award. Now, we have received many stories throughout the pandemic, and we have chosen four nominees. We are announcing them throughout the week before choosing the two winners on tomorrow night's show. Very excited for that. Let's tell you about one of the nominees. It's Andrew Sanborn, three-star varsity sport athlete from Union High School, Union, New Jersey, finished his football season as state champion, but had his basketball state tournament and entire baseball season wiped out due to the pandemic. As a quarterback, he was awarded New Jersey State Offensive Player of the Year and has also been ranked among the top pitchers in the state. He and his mother started a pop-up pantry, taking donations of food and groceries for local families in need during these difficult times. Andrew will be attending American International College to become a special education teacher with aspirations to coach the sports he loves and eventually become an athletic director. Congratulations to Andrew for the nomination. Make sure you are listening tomorrow night when I announce the winners of the honorary ESPYs. It's all brought to you by 98.7 ESPN. And make sure to catch the 2020 ESPYs presented by Capital One this Sunday, June 21st. The countdown begins at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. 8:31, it's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN New York. I'll get back to the calls. Open lines right now. Good chance for you to get through at 800-919-3776. We got to stop with this hatred on Kyrie. I want to play Kendrick Perkins from this morning. And I can't get over what he had to say. Do me a favor. Listen to this sound talking about Kendrick Perkins talking about Kyrie distracting from the message of what's going on.
When you look at Kyrie, I'm okay with you changing your mind and having a different way of thinking and saying, you know what, we need to make a stance, but and sit out. But what is the plan after that? He didn't have one. So once again, that showed his lack of leadership, Greeny. And guess what's been going on for the last 2 days in our world? Two people have been lynched in the state of Texas. Young African-American young lady was killed in Akron, Ohio, behind a hate crime. And have that been highlighted like it should have been? No, because for the last 2 days, we have been talking about Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving, right now, you are the distraction. You are the distractor. You distracting the whole situation. So it's just, it's crazy to me because, you know, you come out and you do something separately without talking to your president, Chris Paul, or consulting with Michelle Roberts, and go off and do something totally different and get a group of guys together and say, let's sit out without a plan. It makes zero sense, and I totally disagree with Kyrie Irving.
All right, a couple of things for Kendrick Perkins right there. Number one, hanging that on Kyrie Irving is tough to do. I mean, how do you go from what Kyrie has to say as completely distracting the country from tragedies that happened in Texas and in Ohio? How do you blame Kyrie Irving for taking away from the attention of those two things? I mean, first of all, of course more attention should be paid to that. But Kyrie Irving has absolutely nothing to do with that. That is awful. To suggest about somebody that they somehow are part of the problem in that. That somehow he is distracting everybody away. Look, you can disagree with his tact. I don't have a problem with that. But to put that on Kyrie Irving is so dead wrong from Kendrick Perkins. And then Kendrick Perkins went even further talking about Kyrie showing a lack of leadership.
If you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fly backwards. Because Kyrie right now, he's confused. He's showing his lack of leadership. Here it is. Kyrie, you have been on these conference calls over the last 2 months. You're the vice president of the Players Association. You have been very involved in all this that has been taking place for us, whether or not we're going to play or not. And you have been on the phone and you have voted to play. And also we go back last week, just last week, he was reaching out to the Players Association and the NBA about, you know, players that are on the inactive list, can they travel to Orlando? That he said he wanted to go to Orlando and be part of the team and be with his team and be a leader. And all of a sudden, within the next 7 days, because from what I was told, the NBA said, no, you can't go because of the pandemic and coronavirus situation, that the people, the bodies that are there are bodies that, you know, are that need to be people in place to, you know, take part in action.
You know what, Kendrick, stop. Just stop. That's embarrassing that you're talking like this. That somehow Kyrie Irving, as a VP of the Players Association, is not allowed to change his mind. And you are saying that because he can't go to Orlando and watch his teammates, he's now encouraging people not to go. Because he's basically pouting. He thinks that he should disrupt the whole thing and make it about social injustice. And just because he can't go to Orlando, which, by the way, a lot of players don't want to go to Orlando. They don't want to be in this bubble. They don't want to be away from their families. They don't want to not be able to go out and see anybody else and have fun or do what they want to do. They want no part of that. And yet somehow Kyrie Irving's a bad guy. Here's what that sounds like. Those two cuts from Kendrick Perkins sound like personal attacks. That's what they are. Character assassination on Kyrie Irving, and that sounds personal. That sounds very personal. That sounds like either Kendrick Perkins has a big problem with Kyrie Irving and he's using this as his outlet, or one of his friends has a big problem with Kyrie Irving and they're using Kendrick Perkins to get their grievances out. That's an embarrassment. That's horrible. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do, and it's so wrong. If you want to disagree with him, disagree with him. That's fine. If you don't like the way he went about it, that's fine. But to go out there and assassinate his character the way that you did in those two instances is dead wrong. Stop with the world is flat stuff, okay? Stop with the Kyrie has been a problem before for teams thing. Here's what I know. The Nets wanted him here with Kevin Durant, and the two of them wanted to play together to go win a championship. And he can't play right now. So if he can't play right now, he wanted to go cheer on his team. He can't. But you're saying that's the reason that he is rounding people up in the league to back him up and then use social injustice as an excuse. That's unconscionable. That's an embarrassment from Kendrick Perkins. That's awful. That's not commenting on somebody. That's going after somebody personally. It's dead wrong. 800-919-3776. Maxwell is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Maxwell, what do you got?
Yeah, Chris Carlin, I'll say me and you don't see the eye to eye on most things, but okay. I'm totally with you on the cheapening of the shortened MLB season. I'm a Yankees fan. I think, objectively speaking, the Yankees, with the shortened season, with their hitting and their pitching lineup, stand the best chance on paper before the season starts to win a shortened season. That said, I don't want to see it. As a Yankees fan, my biggest fear is Gerrit Cole starts a few games, feels some tightness in his elbow, and then needs Tommy John. Shut him down during the 2021 season, and then there's some sort of work stoppage, and then as a Yankees fan, I don't get to see Gerrit Cole actually pitch for like 3 years.
Awful.
No, thanks. The short season is not worth it. I understand that everybody wants to do something and give something back to the country and take our minds off of everything. And I'm all for that. I'm not saying I don't want to see a 60-game exhibition. But for all the other hosts to sit here and say that it holds the same value as a real MLB World Series is a joke.
I don't know about any of the other hosts who were saying it. For me, I just look at it like this. You can't have handed out this trophy so many times to so many magical teams and have it mean so much to them. The 98 Yankees as one of the greatest teams of all time, if not the greatest team of all time. The 2016 Cubs, who break this 108-year curse, The big red machine. The 04 Red Sox. I mean, even, and I know you're a Yankee fan, you don't want to hear that, but it's, you know, the Red Sox, what did that mean for baseball? And you're going to turn around and hand that same damn trophy to a team that won 40 games in a season and then it got on a good run in the playoffs. That's awful.
Another point. I'm a Yankees fan. While they didn't win last year, I think one of the things that made their performance so amazing last year was their ability to deal with the adversity of injuries and overcome it. A 60-game season is a lob for general managers and head coaches for managers.
See, Maxwell, that's why, like on a season like last year, I would argue that. That's why a guy like DJ LeMahieu for most of the year was the MVP in baseball, period. Because they had so many injuries and that guy was a constant that kept them going. And that's why, you know, I mean, they got so many contributions from so many guys that they had no business getting contributions from.
I hear you. I'm totally with you. I like I said, I'm excited to see some baseball, but
all right, Maxwell.
I don't hold it in the same regard.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we may not agree on a lot of things, but on this one, you and I are in lockstep. I hate it. I hate giving away a championship and equating it with past championships when it's nowhere near the same achievement. It's not. It's not.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, I tweeted about it, and Kendrick Perkins tweeted back. Nothing much, though. Again, you know, I always feel like if you're going to say something, and I'm going to be critical of him, you got to tag him, right? So I tagged him, and I tweeted out, basically, well, no, I'll tell you exactly what I tweeted out, not basically. And let's be clear about something. I like Kendrick Perkins. I like watching him. I think he gives great perspective most of the time. I like what he has to say about basketball a lot because I think he's very good at his job. This, to me, was just so over the line and personal. And that's what I wrote. To me, what Kendrick Perkins said today about Kyrie Irving was character assassination. So Kyrie rallied the players to back him up and used social justice as an excuse just because he was mad he couldn't go to Orlando. That rant felt personal. And Kendrick wrote back, feel sorry for your loss. So I don't think I was getting Kendrick too fired up, and that's fine. I'm not trying to. I'm just making a point about how I did not love what that was because it just did not sound like somebody that was trying to critique a situation. It sounded like or didn't like what he did or the way he went about it. It sounded more personal to me. And like I said, I think Kendrick is excellent at his job, but that was not it right there. Not to me. Mike in New Jersey next on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what's going on, bud?
What's going on, Chris? Big fan of the show.
Thanks, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to comment on when you said that you don't think the World Series would mean as much as past teams in the past. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying 100%. I don't necessarily agree with you. Because when you said, like you said on Facebook, you saw that someone would call it the Jackie Robinson Cup or some kind of tournament.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. Like in other words, just change what it is this year. You know, don't make it the Commissioner's Trophy.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. But well, don't you think, this is what I was thinking, don't you think if you were to change it and make it something else that players really wouldn't get excited about the season anymore, like they're not really playing for something important?
No, I think, first of all, if you are trying to do something larger and do some good with it, and you're doing it from a social justice standpoint, if you're trying to make it significant in a different way, I absolutely think the players will put an importance on it. Because they understand what's going on in society today. They're not stupid. I don't think they're just going to treat it like a preseason game.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
So that's where I am on it. I mean, do you think it is going to be the same? Do you think it is a legitimate championship?
I'm indecisive on it. I agree with you that, you know, 60-game season, like you even said, like, what if the Marlins won it? Or what if a bad team won it? I can understand that. But
they're going to have 16-team playoffs.
That's
so
also true.
If somebody sneaks in and did just enough, is that really what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? Anyway, thanks for the call. Here's a couple of more things from John Heyman. The framework of the deal between Manfred and Union Chief Clark includes 60 games, 100% full prorated pay, a waiver of grievances. In other words, the players can't file a grievance. 16-team expanded playoffs for 2 years, a universal DH, more. Owner sources say it was agreed to pending constituency approval, meaning owners and players. We told you about the early word about the players not loving the 60 games. Owners also agree to $25 million player playoff pool plus $33 million in salary forgiveness for players that were already fronted part of the $170 million advance then. Remember, at the beginning of the year, the owners advanced $170 million to the players, and they were going to be, in essence, paying that back out of their paychecks as it went along. Money guys wouldn't return for no money. So, in effect, players get greater than 100% prorated. In any case, some players view latest as only a proposal, not an agreement. Owners are believed ready to sign off on what they see as a deal. 60 games prorated play, $58 million in playoff pool salary, forgiveness, waiver of grievances, expanded playoffs for 2 years, but the ball's in the hands of the players, some of whom see it as just that, a proposal. Look, just go and get the deal done, fellas. They're giving you enough. If it's 65 games, fine, make it 65 games. Because 5 games will make a difference to a lot of guys. 5 games salary. Let's talk for a second. If you're going, I'll do a little bit of quick math while we're talking about this. So we said that 65 games would have been 40%. 60 games of a full season is 37%. Okay? The minimum salary, let's say you're a minimum player, makes $522,500. Okay? Over 162. So multiply that times 0.37. Math boy. You come out with $193,000 for 37%. But if you multiply that by 0.4, then you get $209,000. So for playing those 5 games, you're talking about an additional $16,000 for the minimum players. For the minimum players. That's a lot of money. 16 grand is a lot of money for anybody. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think that if you can get it to 65, great, but let's just stop talking and get it done already. Eli in Newark is next on 98.7 ESPN. Eli, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, brother? What's going on, brother? First things first, hope all well, your family, friends, and loved ones, everybody at ESPN, and everybody else, okay?
You too.
Two things about Perkins and Major League Baseball. I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey projects, and usually we was always told, listen, don't talk about somebody behind their back, don't talk to a man-to-man face-to-face, or call them. Because really, to make a statement the way he did, that's drawing more attention to himself than Kyrie Irving to me. Talk to him and meet somewhere, you know, like I said, man-to-man or face-to-face. Okay, now Major League Baseball, I'm just going to phone somebody and see what you think. Major League Baseball and the Players Union, right? Mm-hmm. When they come out and make a joint statement, listen, due to the coronavirus pandemic, there can't be any World Series this year. However, we agreed to play as many games as we can for the fans, and the winner will be the Major League Baseball champion. And we're going to set up a foundation or something that we're going to help anybody who died, any family who died because of the virus and because of social unrest. And leave it at that. What do you think?
That there can't be a World Series this year, but replacing it with something else, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I think that's exactly what they should be doing. And I think it's unfair to champions of the past and to what that particular trophy means. That trophy in every sport, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, the Stanley Cup, the Vince Lombardi Trophy, the Commissioner's Trophy in baseball, what do they represent? The pinnacle. You're going to give a team that trophy for doing less than half the work of some of the all-time great teams? No. No. No, you can't do that.
Not with you.
Appreciate it, Eli. Thanks for the call. Here's Kendrick's tweet from earlier. Excuse my last tweet, in which he was referencing, he has the video of when he was blasting Kyrie Irving. I really took it light on Kyrie today because I could really expose the cupcake BS that he's really doing behind those phone conversations. Carry on. All right. Well, listen, that felt personal. That's all. That felt personal. Trevor Plouffe checking in on Twitter. One thing that the baseball purists are going to hate. The owners have proposed being able to sell commercial advertisements on uniforms for 2020 and 2021. Again, it's in the proposal, which, as many have reported, is not a done deal. So what, Trevor? Honestly, who cares? The NBA's already got them. It's already been done overseas. Trevor Plouffe wants an apology from Manfred on national TV. Yeah, good luck with that, kid. Good luck. Oh, my God. It's just, stop talking about all of this publicly and just go make a deal. I will say this. Have you noticed who hasn't done any interviews whatsoever except issuing statements? Tony Clark. Tony Clark hasn't done a damn interview anywhere. And I'm not saying that's good or that's bad. I just kind of wonder why that is. You know, they have chosen to continue to get their message out by statements and not do interviews. Are they worried about putting Tony Clark in front of an interview? I don't know. Like, for me, it might be a smart play, because when Manfred gets interviewed, he, with the exception of Greeny the other night, he almost can't help but get aggravated. And that little edge to him comes out. So if that's the case, you know, maybe they're doing it because they want to keep what they have as public perception on their side right now, which they have. But then you need to shut down guys like Trevor Plouffe. So relax there. Relax. We'll get back to the calls in a few minutes. 800-919-3776. One of the real issues with baseball, who's actually going to play? I continue to rail on the idea that there is some real true championship aspect to the Commissioner's Trophy this year, because there isn't. So they should be doing this in a different way and in a way that might actually make difference. Kendrick Perkins going after Kyrie Irving. And that last tweet I just read you from Kendrick tells you even more. There's something more personal going on. Somebody is telling him stuff, and they want to get it out there about Kyrie. And so that's what they're doing. And so they're telling him so he can attack Kyrie as well. Look, if stuff comes out about Kyrie and doing all this, I'll be very disappointed in him. But I personally can't question a guy's motives when he's talking about as active as he's been in social justice and how upset he's been. We heard from Steven Jackson yesterday about how he's called him every day. To me, that's tough to do publicly, calling out a guy like that in the middle of this. If you don't like the way he goes about it, that's fine, and that's your job. But character assassination is another thing.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.